On Thursday, September 8th, 1870, the newly built temple of Kehila Kedosha B'nai Shalom was dedicated, an event that was not only important to the Jewish community of Quincy, but to the entire community at large. The events of this festive occasion and an architectural description of the temple were recorded by an unnamed author, though clearly non-Jewish observer in the Quincy Whig and Republican, in an article entitled "The Jewish Temple, Impressive Dedication Ceremonies." The first thing described in the article is the diversity of the crowd. The Hebrew Reformed Temple was filled to overflowing with people of every creed, numbering among them many of our most prominent and influential citizens. This introduction is important for two reasons. Temple KK B'nai Shalom was not the first Jewish congregation in Quincy, and the fact that it points out that people of all faiths were in attendance, including the most important citizens of the city. It is well documented that there were Jews settled in Quincy, Illinois before 1840, but there was not a Jewish community to speak of until 1856, when Isaac Mayer Wise, a prominent Jewish leader who advocated for the unification of American Judaism and eventual founder of American Reform Judaism, visited Quincy and helped to organize the first congregation, a traditional Jewish congregation called Kehila Kedosha B'nai Abraham. However, the unity of the Jewish community in Quincy did not last very long. There was a group of reform-minded Jews who seceded from KK B'nai Abraham in 1863. These reformers called themselves Kehila Kedosha B'nai Shalom. The rift between these two congregations was so bad that when KK B'nai Abraham dedicated their synagogue building in 1866, all members of KK B'nai Shalom were noticeably absent from the festivities. This is important to mention because at the dedication of Temple KK B'nai Shalom, the members of KK B'nai Abraham were present, even though this temple was one of the first synagogues that was established specifically as a Hebrew Reform congregation. It is also important to note that this special occasion drew the most prominent and influential citizens of Quincy, Illinois. Not only were the Jews well known in the city, but the non-Jews of Quincy expected the Jews to throw a good party. A week before the dedication, an editorial was published in the Quincy Whig and Republican, which noted that the Israelites of B'nai Shalom are dedicating their beautiful new temple. As we all know, in active entertainment, none can excel our Hebrew neighbors. Not only were the Jews of Quincy accepted, but the fact that the most prominent citizens of Quincy were present at this event showed how important the Jewish community in Quincy was to the city as a whole. It is also interesting to note that before giving a description of the ceremonial events of the dedication, the author points out that our Hebrew brethren do not remove their hats in the house of God, but remain with their heads covered during the entire service, a custom which seems very singular to us, but which is the Jewish mode of expressing reverence and respect. This explanation of why Jews wear hats inside the sanctuary is the only attempt to explain any element of Judaism by the writer, though there are many references in the article that might need to be explained further to a non-Jewish audience. Instead, when describing the ceremony, the article focuses on the aspects of the ceremony that might be more familiar to a non-Jewish reader. There is a description of the opening procession where young girls were wearing wreaths of flowers and the young boys were carrying bouquets, and the Torah scrolls are referred to as the scrolls of the law and are carried in by the gentlemen of the community. The author also points out that the psalms and hymns were sung in Hebrew and in German, but also notes that the ceremony included performances of Handel's Messiah and Mozart's The Law of God. There is only one aspect of the dedication ceremony that the author found offensive, Rabbi Maurice Flugel's sermon. The author notes that Rabbi Flugel, stating one side of the question, his own, regarding Israel and the Gentile world, he ignores the New Testament altogether. This might have been a contentious topic for Rabbi Flugel to speak about in an interfaith crowd, But the fact that the only one negative that there is only one negative sentence is present in the whole article might show that it was generally overlooked. The reporter makes sure to mention at the end of the description of the day's events that the evening party was highly enjoyed by those who attended. The Jews of Quincy did not disappoint. The remainder of the article is a description of the architecture of the synagogue. Though this is also very interesting, an entirely new podcast could be devoted to this description and the importance of the Moorish Revival architectural style to the history of American Jewish synagogues. Overall, the dedication ceremony and the party afterwards were a great success. Not only was the non-Jewish community of Quincy impressed with the building and the ceremony, but it represented the beginning of a long-lasting relationship between the new congregation, KK B'nai Shalom, and the rest of Quincy. The building of this particular edifice also helped those members of KK B'nai Abraham deal with the loss of their own building, which they lost to a fire in 1869. These two congregations completely merged again by 1872 as one community. And even though Isaac Meir Wise's dream of one united American Judaism never came to fruition, at least in the city of Quincy, Illinois, a Jewish community once divided by religious and ideological differences was reunited through the sharing of a holy space, a beautiful new synagogue.